warning. The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sablicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning. I am your host, Jeff Paul. My boy Bernie in the big seat back today, buddy. After a whole morning of raking baseball and softball fields, look at you. Not even sweating.
Well, that's because I had good help.
Oh, you, okay. Yeah, you weren't out there by yourself.
No, absolutely not.
So my guess is you're just sitting in the golf cart with the whip. Get that line straight.
No. I don't sit in the golf cart.
Sports Saturday, guys. We're here every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. Listen, the draft is coming up. We're going right into this right now, guys. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. But you got to wait to call. And you're going to want to wait. And you want to turn the phone up. You're going to turn your radio up. Maybe turn your phone up if you listen to us on the phone. Whatever's happening, get yourself ready to go. Because on the TikTok Jewelers guest line right now, we have NFL writer and still the star of the greatest sports commercial ever made of all time, John Clayton. John Clayton joins us live here on Sports Saturday. Good morning, John. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Now, John, are you in Seattle?
Yes.
Mike, so you're what is it, 2 in the morning there right now? You're getting up for our show?
Seems like it. At least it's not raining. That's the good thing about it. No, it's early. It's 7.
Yeah, okay, that's not too bad then, I guess. That's not too bad. I can say this. Is it warmer than 33 degrees in Seattle right now?
Yes, it is.
All right.
It's supposed to be, I think, going up to... Actually, it's 46 right now, going up to 52. Traffic and weather together are rapid. Oh, I'm sorry, but...
That's much balmier than it is where we are right now, where it's about 33 degrees, but the sun is shining. So, it's been an ugly, ugly spring here in Vermont. All right, John, I know you're very busy, so we'll get right into it. The draft is coming up. Is this one of the most intriguing drafts you've ever seen in the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's not obviously as good as the 1983 draft that had John Elway and Dan Marino, but with four quarterbacks that are going to go probably in the top, maybe even as early as top 6, I mean, that just makes it very intriguing because, again, is this going to be our success story or is it going to be a failure? Because a lot of times, it's a 50-50 deal when you draft quarterbacks. I mean, one usually works and one usually doesn't. And so now, can the four teams that are going to be positioned to try to do this get the success? And then, of course, you have, probably the best running back draft in more than 12 years. That makes an intrigue. A very deep draft for cornerbacks. No, I like this draft a lot. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, just the trades. Because, we are in an unprecedented time right now in the National Football League for trades. I mean, yesterday was the 26th trade so far this year, when Riley Dixon ends up being traded by Denver going over. 26 trades. Could you imagine? There's usually going to be 25 during the draft. I mean, this is going to be wild.
Do you think there'll be a ton of trade? Do you think, we talk about the Giants in the show a lot, do you think that there's a chance that number 2 pick will be traded, or do you think it's just going to run its course and not happen this year?
No, I think the Giants are probably going to stay because, the question is going to be who can really move up to be able to get what they want. And obviously we're talking Buffalo. Buffalo is sitting there at 12. I don't think there's enough ammunition for them to move up. And, Dave Gettleman has the standard style of a New York Giant general manager, and he's not real big on trading up, trading down. Usually a Giant usually takes that pick. And so I think in the end they'll sit there, whether it's going to be Barkley, whether it's going to be Chubb, I think it'll be one of the two. So I don't see a trade right now for the Giants.
So, again, an enticing package of 12, 22, 53, 65 from Buffalo to the Giants, and maybe another pick isn't enticing, you don't think, enough to the Giants, and then maybe have the ability to trade back up if they make that deal first?
It's going to be enticing. But also the question is going to be, is it going to be something that the Giants do? Because, again, that's just not their tradition. And, again, it has to be so good that there's almost no choice in being able to do that. So if the appeal's there and there's enough aces in there, enough number ones, yeah, maybe he can do it. But, you know, for the twos and all that stuff, that I don't know if it's going to happen.
How about who is the team? You know, they always talk about smoke screens right now and, you know, people kind of not playing their hands. Who is the team that you think might come out of nowhere and make that move to climb to get one of these potential quarterbacks?
I mean, if there's going to be a sleeper team, maybe it's going to be Arizona, but they're so far down at 15. I don't know if they're going to be able to get enough ammunition to move up because, you know, can they get in a position to do it? A surprise team, I think, you know, possibly could be Miami. You know, if they want to try to move up. And, you know, what we're looking at right now is, I think, probably six. That's where you kind of target where something might happen because the Colts have already traded down from 3 to 6. And I think that they've already put that pick up for, and of course, that's where the fourth quarterback's going to be, whether it's going to be Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen. So I think, you know, you may be a Miami team. But what holds me back on Miami is that they put about, $16 million into restructuring Ryan Tannehill's contract. When you structure somebody's contract, you're usually keeping them, and that means you're not replacing the position.
You know, you're mentioning the quarterbacks in this draft. Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, doesn't think very much of them. What do you take of his comments?
Yeah, the thing with Sean, though, is that they're still in that window of winning with Drew Brees, and they need pass rush and all that stuff. And, you know, where it's almost the same thing as the Giants. Okay, now, do you really think about replacing Eli Manning out now, or do you follow the path that maybe there's 2-3 more years left in your quarterback? But, you know, Sean Payton now has, you know, some ammunition to do some things. I still think he's going to worry more about the defense than he is the offense.
Do you think that the Cowboys releasing, I guess my question should be, what's the reason for releasing Dez Bryant from the Cowboys?
Separation. Because when you really look at, because I remember being at the Dallas-Seattle game and doing the sidelines on the Dallas side, that there was no separation, whether it was Dez Bryant, whether it was Terrence Williams, whether it was Cole Beasley. And so what you can see is a big effort right now, really, to replace all three or get faster. They picked up Deontay Thompson as a fast free agent. We don't know how good he is because he really hasn't been on the field that much. And then, you know, they make the bigger move in getting Alan Hearns. And so now you look at Dez Bryant, he's $14.5 million. And really, with the lack of separation, because he's now a go-up-and-get-him type of wide receiver as opposed to, you know, beat you with his feet and beat you with his strength. And so because of that, he's not worth $14.5 million. He fits into a number two mode, which, of course, becomes intriguing because is that something that would appeal to the New York Giants?
So, John, how about, you know, closer to home for you, the Richard Sherman saga and the transition of the Seattle Seahawks? How do you think, you know, when it's all said and done, I mean, will the fans still love Richard? Is he just that displeased with the way the organization handled him? What are kind of some things going on out there?
Well, it's going to enhance the rivalry because, you know, Richard's going to say a bunch of stuff he already has. And so I would hope that the fans would stand by him because, again, he's been such an instrumental part of the success of this franchise, both as a person talking and as a player. And now he goes to San Francisco, which, of course, was immediate because what did he want to do? Come back against Seattle. But I think what you can see in the last couple of years, as great as he played, you know, he started to disbelieve that this was a Super Bowl team. I think they really started about 2 years ago. And so that was in the back of his mind. And then, of course, he gets the Achilles injury, which was unfortunate. And the next thing you know, he gets cut, which, of course, makes him mad. So I think it's going to add to the rivalry. But I hope if Seattle fans are upset with him, they would remember the good years as opposed to the next couple.
We are talking to John Clayton here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. John, interesting talk out of the Patriot camp. You know, Tom Brady isn't going to show up. I mean, from what I'm understanding, in any of the mini camp that we have coming up here, and Rob Gronkowski is still talking about potential retirement. I mean, are we starting to see an end to this Patriot dynasty here in New England?
Not yet, because Tom Brady's still going to be on the team, and I anticipate that he's going to play. I anticipate that Rob Gronkowski's going to play, even though he's talking retirement. I think what this is one where you can see there's been a kind of a growing, I guess, just, you know, being together so long sometimes can be tough. And I think the incident last year where he kicked out the trainer of Tom Brady, who was also training Rob Gronkowski, that played into it, number one. And I think a little bit of this is maybe a little contract thing because, you know, Rob wants a new contract and more money. Wouldn't be surprised if Tom has positioned himself to maybe get a little bit more money. He's got great leverage right now. But it's like this, as the story ESPN put out, that there was a lot of things going on. I think you can see there are a lot of things going on. But in the end, it doesn't seem to matter. They get the Super Bowls. This year, unfortunately for them, they didn't win.
John, how about, you know, the schedule is released and there's all the Thursday night games. The players voice their concern about not being able to be ready for those games because of the quick turnaround. There are some, you know, pretty big injuries on those Thursday night games. Is that all coincidence? Do you think they'll ever be that the Thursday night games will be brought to the table, or is there just too much money to be lost by not having these games?
Too much money. And that it is, I mean, there's a reality to the injury factor. I mean, for example, if you get a concussion on a Sunday, there's no way you're going to be able to be back by Thursday. That's, I think, now a reality. And I think that you can see the older teams and the older players, it takes them time to be able to bounce back from Sunday and go to Thursday. But here's where the difference is. I'm going on last year's numbers because I haven't calculated this year's numbers. If you would take away Thursday night football, the average cap would come down $7 million, and the average player would lose $113,000. That's how impactful it would be to the players. And so, again, you know, the money's there, and I think you can see, you know, as much as last year, Thursday Night Football, for both networks that weren't the NFL network, they lost money, lost a lot of money. Yet, here comes Fox. They come in and pay $650 million, a big increase over last year. So the money's there. As long as the money's there, there's going to be Thursday Night Football.
What is your opinion of the state of the game right now? Ratings were down this year, I mean, for a lot of different reasons, whether it was, you know, the play. I mean, I've always argued that football now has become, you know, it's a game that sometimes it's unwatchable in terms of the fundamentals, and a lot of that has to do with the way that these players practice in the preseason. But the state of the game right now, in your opinion, John, do you think it's a I don't want to say dying sport, because obviously it's still the number one talk of the country, but do you feel like it's taken a hit a little bit the last couple of years?
I think it's taken a hit, yeah. I mean, it's certainly not a dying sport, because, again, right. You can just see the increased interest, and what it comes down to is that, you know, society is going through a transition right now, in the sense that you know, people are coming off cable and they're going to a different way of watching things, and now trying to find those measurements still hasn't been captured by the people to do the measurements. And so, for example, you know, if you have the smart millennials, which, of course, I say smart because there's so many good millennials. I mean, they were able to get more things on demand than anybody else. You know, they're watching on their cell phones, iPhones, whatever. And is that really registering with the networks and all that stuff? I think, you know, interest continues to go. And, of course, remember, there's a thing that's going to happen that nobody's talking about right now next month that's going to cause the sport to grow even more. If, indeed, the Supreme Court grants yes to legalize gambling, think about how that's going
true.
To increase interest. So the concerns have to be concussions, because what you worry about is the supply of players in the future. That's a big issue right now. You're right about some of the fact that some of the games are unwatchable. They have to continue to make sure that the product is going to be better. But, you know, the game has some strain, but still, the game is so popular, it's still going great.
All right, John, just again, looking to the draft on Thursday, give us one bold prediction for the draft.
I guess the boldest prediction is that Buffalo is going to find some way, somewhere, to get up and get Josh Rosen, who I think is going to be the number four quarterback taken. You know, of course, I guess the bold part of it is that means that you know, the New York Jets are going to take Baker Mayfield, that Sam Bradford's going to go to the Cleveland Browns, and I think Josh Allen will go to the Denver Broncos. But if they don't get Josh Allen, I don't think they take a quarterback. So I kind of got that order right now. The only question I have is whether Buffalo boldly is going to be doing this at six, or are they going to be doing this at another spot?
So, John, before we let you go, I have to ask, and I asked you last time you were on, but you're still, I mean, the star of the greatest commercial ever made. That is the greatest sports commercial ever made, is your commercial when you were with ESPN. It's the best commercial ever made.
Oh, it was a blast. I mean, yeah, we had 65 people in the shoot down in Los Angeles for that. And then, you know, with my limited hair, to have two hairdressers, you know, I thought that was a big bonus. And so it was one that really was kind of funny. I find out it was in the works, actually, for a couple years. and the ad agency, which they're the ones that come up with all the brilliant ideas on the commercial, they were pushing that for a couple of years, and they really wanted me to be the one to do that. And so once I saw the script, I said, oh, absolutely, flew down there, had a blast doing it, and then, you know, the great part is every time I go through an airport, every time I go to a restaurant, somebody's looking at the back of my head to see where the hair is. I simply say, hey, it's tucked in.
And how many takes did it take, and how much food did you have to consume?
It was 18 takes, but by the time we got to 10, everything was done. I mean, we had hit everything that they wanted to hit, and then the 8 takes were just impromptu type of things. And, you know, they actually put together a some of the outtakes, and that you can see that on YouTube and anything like that. But we did it in 10, and then the 8 were just spontaneous things. Hey, try say this, try say that. And yeah, I really didn't eat too much of the food. I mean, it was good.
Was it lo mein or fried rice?
It was fried rice, nice. Thank heavens, because yeah. I like fried rice. But it was chicken, but it wasn't too spicy. That was the good part about it.
Yeah, that would have been rough. John, thanks so much for the time, buddy. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we can talk to you again down the road. Enjoy the draft.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, John.
The great John Clayton. Now, what a great conversation. And still, honestly, I mean, with all his NFL knowledge, and he's a must-listen to and a must-read when you can see him, the greatest commercial ever made, the best sports commercial ever made is John Clayton's ESPN commercial, which unfortunately, because he's no longer with ESPN, is not anymore. But if you haven't seen it, YouTube it right now.
Even better than your All Rise Aaron Judge commercial?
Even better than my boy Aaron Judge. Okay. I got to say it as is. Any guy that's got the same kind of hair that I do, like John Clayton, because John Clayton should just shave it, like me. That's what I would do. Just shave it off, buddy. Just take it off. But, hey, great talk with him this morning, and interesting conversation he had as well. A lot, very knowledgeable, a lot of things that could happen in this draft, but really, the reality is nobody has any clue. And if John Clayton doesn't have a clue, we don't have a clue.
No doubt.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, interesting conversation about sports specialization eroding youth sports in our society. I want to talk about that with you, Bernie, when we come back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
It's never too cold to grill
up,
Bernie.
Okay, man, you're just killing me.
What do you do, chicken, burgers? What do you put on there today?
And Bernie Siplicki.
Whatever my wife wants.
Of course.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Did he say 60 degrees this week, coming up 60 degrees? That what the weatherman said?
That's what it felt like this morning.
Oh, so that's awesome.
It was beautiful.
I did see, no joke, because I've been looking at the long-range forecast.
You're not even going to be here.
I know, but I'm going to be here on Tuesday. It's going to be 67 degrees on Tuesday. That's almost 70, folks. That's almost 70. In a year
it's
ago.
It's almost 65.
Yeah, no, that's a good
point. Closer to 65 than 70.
That's true. But it's above, when you see numbers above 65, I find that closer to 70. You know what I mean? Like you're rounding
up. You got
to
round up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so like, you know, for example, if you're in high school, you get a 67 on a test. They'll teach you, like, come on, round it up to a 70. Give me a C-.
I just tell people I have a 70.
I used to try that. Never worked.
Oh, boy.
I'm psyched about that. I am psyched about that. Good conversation with John Clayton. Always fun to talk to him.
What a way to start.
We love that
stuff. What else we got going on today?
Oh, unbelievable show. We do have an unbelievable show. Coming up on the next segment, we've got NBA Insider for Sporting News, Sean Devini. I mean, let's face it, how good has this NBA playoff been so far? As much as I've been, you know, whining about how I can't watch NBA basketball during the regular season, it is must-see TV during the playoffs.
It was great. Unfortunately, LeBron let a big lead get away last night.
Oh, unfortunately, whatever.
Oh, no.
Whatever. Yes, I feel so terrible for him.
Celtics got blasted.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's what I mean.
Well, that's what happens when Jabari Parker now gets comfortable and coming off the bench for the Bucks because they got no production from their starting guards.
I'll be quiet.
What?
I just stop. You're so passive aggressive with me. You're just going after going after Malcolm Brogdon? Is that your point? You're just going after my boy Malcolm Brogdon?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that Bledsoe really struggled against Rozier, and the starting guards, especially Bledsoe, bounced back last night, and they got production off the bench.
I think the thing you're seeing here is parity in the NBA, which I think is important to the league.
Is it Golden State, Houston, and everybody else?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. But I think maybe you're right, and maybe as the playoffs go on, but what you're seeing right now besides the top-tier teams, I mean, these are very competitive series, especially in the East. I mean, the East is wide open. So it's been a lot of fun. It'll be fun to talk to Sean about that. He's going to join us at 10:40. At 11:05, our buddy from Philly, angry AC fan Philly, is going to call. He's fired up. Exactly. And I thought I was going to have to change his name to Happy Philly Fan. But if you watch his post about his Flyers, I mean, he's so angry. I mean, there's just something about the Philly fan. They just can't be happy.
They won last night.
I know. I mean, he's just an angry man, but he's going to join us like 11:05.
You'd think he'd be more angry about the Heat series, what with all the issues between the two teams happening and the way that all season they've been at each other.
And how about my boy Justin Anderson going right after Wade? Love it. I love Justin Anderson. And then we'll talk a little baseball, maybe the 11:20, and then we got our hot or not. So, yeah, we got a lot happening, man, going to the show today. It's a big day.
And if you get a chance, you got to watch the New Orleans Pelicans play.
Unbelievable.
Rondo, Holiday, Davis.
How about Rondo?
It's amazing.
I mean, he really is.
He did that. He did the fake behind the back and then up in one of the games.
Did he make that noise? Did he make that noise too?
I bet he makes that noise every time.
Yeah, behind his back. Yeah. Well, maybe he does.
Here's the thing. They had a big thing on Instagram on Rondo. How like?
Wait a minute.
It's my kid's account. Okay. I was patrolling it.
I'm surprised that you even know what that is.
Yeah.
I have an Instagram account, but I can't figure out how to do anything on it.
Good.
I saw you liked one of the posts for the
I figured out how to like, yeah. Hey, man, if you want to follow me, follow away, baby. I'm Coach JP2. So, yeah, join. I'd love it. I'd have some – look, makes me think I have friends, you know.
Can I
– I'm sorry. Yeah,
thanks. All right. Sorry. So, you know, they win the tip all the time, and it bounces, and Rondo, like, bounces it off his head and then does something with the ball. It's either a travel or a double dribble every time, and they never call it. Like, go watch it.
Yeah.
It is, like – he'll like slap the ball down, head it, and then catch it, and then put the ball down. It's a blatant.
Well, there's been a lot of articles that there have been a ton of ridiculous no call travels in the league right now. They're going to talk, but we'll talk to Sean about that next thing. But I did want to bring something up to you, Bernie. An interesting article that I read. It's in the Vancouver Sun, if you can believe it. I wasn't searching for it. A friend of mine sent it to me. And as a varsity soccer coach and one that's been doing it for a long time, and you've been a coach and you're an athletic director at a Division I school at Colchester, I thought it was pretty interesting because I got it from a fellow coach that coaches against us usually, but a good friend of mine. And basically, it's about early sports specialization that's eroding youth sports, and it's very interesting. One of the stats that I read in there that just shocked me says 70% attrition rate of there's a 70% attrition rate of children who quit sports for life by the age of 13. And the reason that they're giving is that the sport, it's just no fun anymore. And the whole purpose of the story is to say that basically what's happening is the day of athletes being a 3 or 4 sport athlete are over. That we're starting to create these specialized, you know, if you come out and you're a 4 or 5 year old kid and you're a great soccer player, that's all you play your whole life. If you're a great basketball player, that's all you play your whole life. Basketball, football, baseball, golf, whatever it is. And we're starting to see some incredible numbers in injuries. In youth, in girls aged 10 to 17, anterior cruciate ligaments are up 400% since 2002. We are starting to see Tommy John surgeries now. In kids age from 10 to 19 at astonishing rates. And you and I have talked about this, and it's close to our hearts as a high school coach, and I coach soccer, but I am such a proponent of athletes that play more than one sport. And you're not seeing it anymore. And you're not seeing kids out in the parks playing anymore. I mean, I don't know about you, and you can relate, because you and I are around the same age. You're a little older than me.
But way better looking.
Yeah, no question about that. But, I mean, what we did when I was a kid was when we got out of school, if it was football season, we played football in this park every day. If it was basketball season, we found a gym. Or plow the snow off, we did that. And then when it was baseball season, we played baseball. We played sports outside every day, every second. You don't see that anymore. And now it's becoming a business for these kids. And that is scary. That's scary.
Yeah, I mean, you have just thrown out so much good stuff right there. And if people want to text us or call in, please do. It's 655-6672. I as a dad who have two kids, that, you know, part of our parenting philosophy is our kids have to play at least 2 or 3 sports. You're not going to become specialized, because I agree with you. I mean, there are so many people that, okay, I'm going to play, and I'm just going to use soccer as an example.
Sure.
I'm going to play fall soccer, then I'm going indoor all winter, and then I'm going to spring soccer outside, and then I'm going to play in the summer.
Yep.
You know, basketball. They're, if you want to, and obviously this is happening all over the place, there are the opportunities now to play that one sport every season. What, fall, winter,
spring
and summer. And it's just, you know, it is... like you said, it's become a more of a business than it is for fun.
655-6672. If you want to join our conversation, you can call us or text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 802-655-6672. 6% of all high school athletes go on to play in college. 6%. 2% make the professional ranks. And what they're the basis of this article is that it's all about parents and coaches. It's all about how many wins a coach has in their career. And it's all about parents' mentalities of saying, okay, this is we're going to push you in this direction, and kids are burning out early. And I can tell you, I've had athletes, and I'd never name drop, but I've had athletes come to me, elite athletes come to me, that had all this future, had Division I schools coming at them, Division II schools with scholarship opportunities and all this expectation. I've had players come to me middle of season in high school and say, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And I just can't, you know, and growing up, I remember I look at my father, who's one of my greatest heroes in my life. And unfortunately, I mean, I wasn't born enough to watch him play, but he was an elite athlete. Elite in baseball, basketball, football, had a terrible knee injury in football, probably would have had a football scholarship. I mean, I won't get into the schools that he was looking at going. I probably wouldn't be here right now if he ended up doing it, but he was a four sport, he's a three, actually a four sport athlete because he also played track, but he had the ability and the chance to play all those sports. And then I looked, you know, and I look at a player like another kid that I looked up to when I was in middle school, Kevin Belomo from Rutland. He was a baseball coach at Rutland, played at Western Carolina. I think still to this date is the home run championship for them. He was an elite football player, baseball player, and basketball player. And I remember talking to Kevin when I was a young kid, and he'd say, oh, the reason my real sport's baseball, but the reason that I play this sport is because I want to be prepared for baseball. So I play football in the fall to be prepared. I play basketball to stay in shape. It's just a different world now, and it's scary. And the other thing is that we have people out there right now that are pushing kids away from high school sports. There are people that are running organizations right now in our communities that don't believe in high school sports. That's insane to me, Bernie. Insane.
It is. I mean, it's definitely a different approach and a different philosophy from what we grew up with. I mean, there was nothing more important to me than putting on my high school and college jersey.
That's right.
Period. End of statement. I mean, it was what I desired. It's what I worked for. It's what I lived for. And you know, I just see the specialization, and I get it.
Sure.
You know, maybe two out of the three seasons you can kind of double up, but you gotta diversify the portfolio.
Well, I think, and I also think that you can get burned out. Like, I understand. I think. All the resources athletes have today, you know, if you're an elite basketball player, the fact that you can play basketball year round and get in front, and you can go to these showcases and people can see you.
They're out
you
there right now. There's a huge showcase in Indianapolis
That's right.
going on right now.
And the same thing with soccer. And I understand the reasoning for it. But now what we're doing is, I think what the fear that you have is now you're going to only have the elite athletes playing these sports and doing these things. And not everyone's going to do it because there's not going to be any room for it. And that's the thing that for that athlete that might be on that fringe type of athlete, you know, that, you know, maybe that athlete's a little intimidated about coming out for the team because every other team plays for an AAU organization that's top notch or an elite club sports team somewhere. And I think it's unfortunate. I think it's sad. I mean, I really do. And I just think there's something to be said about playing more than one sport if you have the ability to do it. And I think there's something to be said about playing for your school. There's nothing more important to me growing up in Rutland than my first Rutland High School jersey was the most important thing I had ever put on in my life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's that pride, it's that loyalty, and that's where, again, you know, the ability and the want to be part of a team. I see, like, when these people go to these different clubs and these different groups, and it's time to come back to your high school, sometimes that total buy-in into that team isn't there because of outside influences.
Jeff from Moncton joins us. Good morning, Jeff. What's happening, buddy?
Good morning, guys. I just want to chime in here. So there's two sides of the story. There's the side of, you know, all these young kids just want to play and want to do sports. And I think we as adults need to do everything that we can to encourage this, you know, in the day of age of sitting in front of the TV and the computer screen and the video game and all of that. But on the other hand, you know, out of those 6% of kids that go to college and play a college sport and the 2% that go on professional, you know, dig deeper and look at how many of those kids play that one sport year round. It's almost what you have to do nowadays to be to be at that college elite level and be at, and grow yourself into that pro elite, you know, status. You know, we have schools in the area right now who people call powerhouses, you know, and it's because the kids, you know, from second grade on, all they do is play, let's just take soccer and CVU, okay? These kids, all they do is play soccer year-round so that when they get into the high school, you know, it means something to make that freshman team, or it means something to make the JV team. And you know, if you can somehow make it to that varsity team, you know, it's really special. You know, it's because these kids, all they do is play that one single sport. You know, same thing with baseball and hockey now and basketball. It's so year round and it's so there.
But Jeff,
it's
let me
what you have to do.
And everything you're saying is right. And I can agree with you on that in a lot of capacity. What I'm telling you is though, but that takes away from what the sport is supposed to be about. Okay, and when you're a 13 and 14 year old kid, the game is supposed to be fun. And what's happening? What's happening is that these kids, it becomes a business. And they can get burned out. And just the fact that there's a 70% attrition rate right now of children who are stopping playing sports for life at the age of 13. That's a scary number for me.
I honestly couldn't agree with you more. You know, and I've been a wrestling coach for almost 20 years. And, you know, the one bit of wisdom that I always give my athletes is the only time that winning and losing matters is your senior year in high school. You know, if you want to look at your wins and losses, look at it on your last chance to do it. You know, the rest of the time, if you're not enjoying it, then something's wrong. You know, if you can't go out and do the sport that you love and enjoy it every day, then something's wrong.
Jeff, I appreciate the call, man. It was a great call. Thanks so much for listening, buddy. I just got to, and I know we got to go to break. I just got a text from a friend of mine whose son is about to play lacrosse at Rutgers. He just said he agrees with what we're saying, Bernie. He said the coach from Rutgers told his son that he made him an offer, and one of the key factors was because he played more than one sport, and that's at a Division I lacrosse program at Rutgers. So listen, there's two sides to every story, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. And as a varsity soccer coach, and let's be honest, our program at Colchester, Bernie, is regarded as one of the top right now. I appreciate my athletes playing that one sport year-round. But I'll tell you one thing. I've had some phenomenal athletes that would have been great shortstops in softball. They would have been amazing point guards in basketball. And they never did that. And I think that there comes a point where the game gets to be stale. And I think that's sad. And I think the game's supposed to be fun. I have no problem with these specialized sports. I get it. But when you look at these numbers, they're staggering. Check out this article if you can. It's the Vancouver Sun. Early sports specialization is eroding youth sports. It's by the Vancouver Sun. Just check it out and read it. But definitely interesting stuff, Bernie.
A great topic and something that hopefully we'll revisit real soon because there are so many different avenues to go down.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's NBA basketball. Man, this is Bernie's time of year, baby. His Red Sox are like 302.
They're doing well?
Know, they're doing very well. And now we get to talk about some NBA hoops. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
What is going on with that fan base down there?
And Bernie Siplicki.
Can you not hear me?
I can't hear you too well. I can kind of hear something.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Our lines have been lighting up about our conversation about sports specialization. We'll get back into that next hour, maybe around the 11:20 hour. We can get into that, Bernie. Another open segment, then we can talk about that. But let's get to this NBA talk, man. I mean, look, there's no one out there that gets more frustrated with the monotonous season that the NBA is. But when the playoffs come, even though I'm all in with every game. I can't get enough of it. It's unbelievable.
It's awesome. It's been exciting. The series are very good. And it's only going to get better.
Sporting news, NBA insider Sean Devaney joins us now on the TikTok through his guest line to talk some NBA hoops. Good morning, Sean.
How are you guys?
Good morning, buddy. I keep asking because like, we're freezing up here in Vermont, but where are you located? Is it warm there? I'm just trying to live my life through other people, you know.
No, I'm down here in Massachusetts, so it's warming up at least.
That's good. All right, Sean, I know we don't have a whole lot of time here, but let's get right into it. Bernie and I were talking early in the show, but it just seems, and I understand that Golden State and Houston and maybe those two are the best teams, maybe, but there's a lot of parity in the NBA, at least it looks like so far in the early rounds of this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've had, certainly in the Eastern Conference, you've had Cleveland just hasn't looked very good. Indiana has looked terrific. They fell behind by 18 points last night, come back and win that game. That was pretty impressive. I think with Cleveland looking a bit like a wounded animal here, it does open up the possibility that we're going to see some new blood in the finals. Remember, LeBron James has made the finals either with Miami or with Cleveland seven straight times. So, you know, the fact that Cleveland looks a little vulnerable, maybe looks very vulnerable, that's got to be pretty exciting if you're in Toronto or Philadelphia, which are probably the two teams that have the best chance of making the finals. If it's not Cleveland, that's got to be pretty exciting. Like I say, it's just something we haven't seen in almost a decade now.
Yeah.
So, if LeBron James were to not be in the finals, it would be a strange thing.
I know this isn't about the playoffs, but you bring up LeBron James. Isn't he the most polarizing superstar basketball player ever? I mean, I know he's one of the, I know that he's on people's, Mount Rushmore's of basketball. I mean, I argue all the time that Michael's the greatest of all time and LeBron's nowhere near Michael, but LeBron is one of the greatest of all time. No question about it. But it's almost as if, we're talking about him going to another team next year. You know, I've compared him on this show many times to Taco Bell. Like, I look really forward to getting my Taco Bell. I love it. But I know that about it, later on when it's over, it's going to be ugly. And that's really what LeBron James brings to an organization. And I mean, it's stunning to me. I mean, what's your take on LeBron James?
Yeah, it is funny. I think that there was a reputation of that a lot of people formed of LeBron James, a perception that came out of 2010 when he left Cleveland and went to Miami and really started the whole super team thing, and we've seen that's created some resentment and some negativity in the NBA. So he kind of takes the blame for that,
right?
And I think a lot of people just haven't forgiven him. When you look at it, though, as a media member, there's really, he's as good as any superstar that I can recall to work with, to interview, who give you thoughtful answers, who has opinions,
right.
and who does all the right thing. I mean, how many times have we talked about LeBron James getting arrested?
I don't,
him getting, photos of him out at 3 in the morning or anything. You don't see that,
right.
So it's a little strange that there is this animosity toward him, where really he has conducted himself, with nothing but sparkling, sterling reputation.
Totally agree with you, and I'm not talking about him personally. I'm sure. I mean, I'm personally not talking about that, but I'm saying if I was the Philadelphia 76ers, the Los Angeles Lakers, I would never. I don't think I would want. I would have such trepidation bringing him in. And I can say this: Michael Jordan in his prime, if he wanted to go to another team, every team would want him. But now I feel like with what it's almost like he comes. He dominates early, and then when it starts to go bad, everything goes bad, and he kind of leaves the organization in its puddle of mess when he leaves. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think the Heat would say they regret the 4 years that he was there, and the four finals that they went to, two of which they won. I understand what you're saying, and they've come back and they're a playoff team. Cleveland certainly was a mess for a long time until he came back. But those are the two examples. Like I said, one of them I don't think would have any regrets. Cleveland the first time, obviously, that was a mess. But I don't know that you could put that all on LeBron. I mean, part of that was the organization was terrible. They let him run rampant over the organization, and he took advantage of that. They should never. That they're partly to blame for that. Second, they made some terrible trades. I mean, Antoine Jamison, Barrett Davis. They made some really terrible trades there. And in terms of how they were trying to build their team, so the organization bears some responsibility for that. I certainly understand what you're saying, but I, if you get him for 4 years, I don't think anybody's going to regret that.
So to the Western Conference, I've just fallen in love with the New Orleans squad and, Anthony Davis. Is this just a good matchup against Portland? Is Portland that much of a, are they in in trouble in terms of just their overall team chemistry? And can New Orleans in the next round challenge, you know, to get to the Western Conference Finals?
Well, you know, I agree with you that you know, they've become a very likable team pretty quickly here. You know, I did not think that they were going to win this series, and I don't think a lot of people would have given them, you know, would have counted them as the favorites. Certainly, they weren't huge underdogs. I mean, they won 48 games during the regular season. Portland won 49. It wasn't like it was, you know, for a 3-6 matchup, it wasn't a huge underdog situation. But, you know, having said that, Portland is a much more experienced team. You also look at New Orleans, you know, having lost to Marcus Cousins a couple months ago to an Achilles injury. You know, obviously their second best player. And also, you know, just the overall situation in New Orleans where, look, if they didn't make the playoffs and they were in a couple of games of missing the postseason entirely, you're probably talking about a major overhaul here. With Alvin Gentry being gone, the coach, the general manager would probably be gone. They'd have to consider trading Anthony Davis. You know, they were within that close of a distance of completely having to start over, and now they're looking at moving on to the second round, which is somewhere they haven't been, you know, in more than a decade here. So it's really a good story. Part of it is a good matchup. I think defensively they've drawn up a great game plan to really shut down Damian Lillard, the star guard for Portland. That's been a huge thing. Drew Holiday has been fantastic. Of course, you have Anthony Davis, but really to me the real difference has been Drew Holiday, his defense and leadership, and Nico Mirotic, the guy that got from pretty much in a giveaway by the Bulls at midseason. He's been fantastic as well. So, yeah, it's a really good story there in New Orleans.
We've got about 1 minute left, you know, here in the segment. The Celtics, should they start getting nervous? Did Milwaukee kind of find themselves? Jabari Parker finally had a good game coming off the bench. Is this going to potentially go the distance?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could see that Milwaukee had it in them to bounce back, you know, just because, look, the Celtics are you know, on such a thin roster here because of all the injuries they've had. So, you know, yeah, you had to be nervous if you're a Celtics fan going back into Milwaukee. We'll see what happens in Game 4. I think there are some adjustments they can make. Milwaukee was hitting all their shots. The Celtics couldn't do anything right. The turnovers were, you know, they were just rattled. I think they can clean that stuff up and at least give themselves a chance to win Game 4 and really seize control of the series. If not, you know, they still have home court advantage. I think you'd still have to consider the Celtics the favorite, even if it goes to 2-2 on tomorrow afternoon's game.
Sean, you have so much information. We could talk to you all day. Thanks so much for taking the time. Maybe we can reach out again down the road. Is that okay?
Okay, sounds good, guys.
All right, buddy, thanks so much. Interesting conversation with Sean. I know that I dominate with LeBron talk because he just is such an interesting athlete to me, and he drives me bananas. He drives me crazy.
Kind of like what you do with the listeners.
Yeah, I drive everybody. Yeah. Well, you, most importantly. All right, take a quick break. Hey, the Out and Left Field segment's awesome. Hey, Aaron, this is going to be a good one this week, buddy.
Sure is.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Don't go anywhere. It's coming right up.
Want to hear something weird? It's Out in Left Field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
This is taking like a life of its own, this segment, Bernie. Out in Left Field segment we have here on Sports Saturday.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, that's you are good today. By the way, your math skills are very good too, I have to tell you. Thank you were hitting me before the show about, like, you know, you were hitting me with all those numbers about the draft. I mean, I was getting a headache. I got a concussion just from listening to you talk.
The 52 times 3 in like half a second.
Yeah,
was impressive.
Yeah, isn't it? It's like boom, 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 boom. I was like,
it didn't take
God.
Me much longer. Yeah, I think you were a little too impressed.
Oh, I was all right. I had my phone out, my calculator. Are these calculations?
Come on, guys, that's simple math. Let's go.
All right, Aaron, what do we got this week? Oh yes. Wait, is it a Caddyshack? Oh, let's hear it.
Good news, Caddyshack lovers. Actor Bill Murray and his brother recently opened a restaurant that's themed after the 1980 hit film. The Murray brothers, Bill, Joel, Johnny, Ed, Andy, and Brian, officially opened the restaurant on Tuesday, which is located in the Crown Plaza Hotel on River Road in Rosemont, Illinois, according to WGN. The restaurant's walls are covered with family pictures and posters from some of Murray's other movies, such as Groundhog Day. Crispy potato golf balls, a double bogey cheeseburger, and Caddy shakes are among other items featured on the menu.
The greatest sports movie of all time, Bernie? Caddyshack's got to be, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
I mean, that movie stands the test of time.
Slapshot?
Right up there, but nothing beats Caddyshack. I mean, come on. I mean, Bill Murray's character is Spackler.
Gunga Galunga.
Gunga, and I got that going for me. I mean, nothing beats that, you know? Because on your deathbed, you'll have total consciousness. That's why I got that going for me. I mean, somebody step on a duck with Rodney Dangerfield? I mean, come on. Does it get any, I mean, the names in that movie, number one, are spectacular. And even the music's good. I mean, this is a great song. I'm fired up listening to it. I got to go to that place. I got to find that. I got to go to the Midwest just to go to that restaurant. I don't even care if I eat. And Bill Murray's the best.
I mean.
But when you talk about some of the great sports movies, I mean, Slapshot. Aaron and I were talking before he came in today. He's never seen Slapshot, and he's never seen Caddyshack either.
You've never seen this movie?
No.
I can't believe
it. Oh, my gosh.
What's the matter with these kids? That's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
these
my
are classics.
God. This is, you have to.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor.
You got to find it.
The only Bill Murray movie I've ever seen is Ghostbusters.
Another classic.
Yeah.
I mean, all Bill Murray's movies are good.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. Don't cross the streams. I mean, when you were a kid and you were in Outback, you know, peeing like your buddy, you're like, you know,
don't cross the streams.
Yeah. I mean, I still do that. Yeah, I'm telling you, like, those
you
just great.
You do that?
Well, no.
Said you did.
Well, when I'm in Maine, you know, they have outhouses up there at my in-laws, so I have to go outside.
All right.
You know.
So who are you crossing the streams with?
I'm usually myself. No, I just say it out loud.
Oh, okay.
Like, don't cross the streams because I'm playing, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, don't cross the streams. But that another great win is Slapshot. I mean, that's another one. Blue Chips. I just watched Blue Chips. You just mentioned you met Anthony Hardaway, right?
I did.
Or Penny Hardaway. You know, unbelievable.
Down at when I was with UVM at Middle Tennessee State.
And he's now the head coach of Middle Tennessee State.
Or Memphis, but that's okay.
Or Memphis, whatever. Yes. I mean, what's the difference?
A big difference. Yeah, okay.
He played at Memphis, so I got confused. What do you got to embarrass me for,
Bernie? I wasn't embarrassing you. I was correcting you.
Oh, okay, that's fine then.
Okay.
And I think Hoosier's another classic sports movie.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
Yes.
What else? What else was really good? Oh, I thought, what's it called? It's a football movie. Longest Yard. That's a good movie. Anyway, go all day. All right. Pretty good one. Pretty good one this week. I got to check out that restaurant. And if you haven't seen Caddyshack yet, Aaron, it's embarrassing.
You have to go watch it.
Yeah, maybe this afternoon.
Yes.
Go home. Get yourself a sandwich.
Giving you a homework assignment.
Yeah, there you go. And I want to report next week. Do your sports, and let's do this. Oh, boy. When you start to hear the trumpets, you know what that means on 101.3 ESPN and Sports Saturday. That means our good friend from Philly, who I've named over the years, Bern. We've named him Angry Philly Fan AC.
And he should be happy as can be.
Exactly. And I've kind of felt after the Eagles won the Super Bowl that he would be a lot happier. And I'd have to rename his character to Giddy Philly Fan or Happy Philly Fan or Excited Philly fan,
or you've insane only got Philly one, fan,
or obnoxious. Well, I usually call him obnoxious Philly
or
fan.
Or you only so have one Super Bowl Philly fan.
Yeah,
relax.
Right. Like calm down, Philly fan. But if you follow him at all on Facebook, like I do, he is still angry. He's mad at his Phillies. He's mad at his Flyers.
Who won last night?
And I think he's hot and cold with the Sixers. But he loves his Eagles. And right now on the TikTok viewers guest line, our good buddy. Are angry, maybe not as annoyed as earlier, but angry Philly fan AC joins us live. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you in? Are you into our theme music for you?
I didn't even hear it.
Oh, you didn't hear it?
No.
Can you hear it right now? Oh, you can't hear it? Well, I'll give you a little Rocky theme.
Why
in the background.
Oh,
well, because there's a lot. There's no singing. Trust me. If I had an opportunity to sing, I would do it for you, buddy.
All right.
Yeah, but a little Rocky, you know.
That's good.
Yeah. Dun, yeah. Dun. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, there's Aaron singing
good.
Too. All right. Let's get into it, buddy. So, I mean, you got to be somewhat happy the Flyers get the W last night. They're still alive.
Well, listen. Winning cures everything, right? Right. Winning can cure what ails us in Philly. It will never make me not angry. I mean, I will always be angry Philly fan. So don't even think about changing my name.
So let me ask you now.
But hey.
The Jack, not the Phillies.
What's that?
Nothing.
I heard what you said about the Phillies. First of all, let me just tell you about the Phillies right now. It's April, and we won 11 of the last 14 games.
Yeah, good for them.
We have two guys who have the potential of being the NL MVP by the end of the season. So, everybody relax.
Well, you were kind of upset with your boy Gabe Kapler a little early in the season here, probably. I've been reading those.
Well, here's the problem with Gabe. Well, first of all, we want to create we're hoping Netflix picks up this series
It'll be Gabe Kapler and Embiid, and it will be Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, man.
All right? Now, the thing is, even Mrs. Angry Philly Fan is a little smitten with Gabe Kapler.
Oh, I can imagine.
I'm just telling you.
Okay? No, you guys are kind of...
She was like, is he the bat boy?
But has she seen a picture of you from the 70s with that, you know, you got that, like... You know, that white shadow hair going.
He knew me in the 70s. Everybody relax.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, so listen.
Don't poo-poo on my Phillies yet.
All right. Well, I react to you. I just read what you read. I'm just reacting to your reactions.
I'll give him a chance. Here's the issue. Why he's batting on occasion the pitcher in the spot. If that was such a good idea, analytics-wise, wouldn't other managers be doing it? I'm just throwing it out there.
No, he's just trying to be cutting edge. Okay, so real quick, your Flyers, you happy now? They're back in the series a little bit with Phil, are they playing the Penguins, right?
Well, the running joke was that we felt that Joel Embiid needs to give one of his masks to Claude Giroux teach him what it's like for a leader to actually lead a team in a playoff game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? You heard that story, right, with Embiid, right? The guy on the Heat steps on his mask.
Yeah, Justice Winslow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Except he's got a bag of 50 more on the bench.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Come on.
But how about your Sixers? Are they going to wrap this up?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. It may not get wrapped
five or
up
six.
In Miami. I'm going to go six.
How fired up is the city right
six.
How fired up is the city with the Sixers right now?
They're pretty crazy. Because, I mean, you're talking to a city that for a few years we were what? 10-72, you know, trust the process. Now there are two schools of thought. One is trust the process. Whatever we get is like gravy. You know what I'm saying? And then there's other people who are like, trust the process. If we don't win a championship this year, there's going to be rioting. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, I was going to say that this team is good enough to get to the finals.
No question. I would say that they're the best team in the East. I think they're the hottest team in the East. Seriously.
The one problem is we do not match up well against one team in the East, and that's Toronto.
Yeah.
Yep. So if we end up playing Toronto, that could be an issue.
But there's one thing that the Sixers will have over Toronto is that Toronto's got so much pressure to get there. I mean, this is a Toronto Raptor team that is supposed to have been the team in the East for a long time, and they've fallen short. If the Sixers have an opportunity to get against them in a situation to move on, you got to believe the Sixers are going to play that we have nothing to lose. You know, game, because they really don't. I mean, you got, and that, I think there's something to be said about that, especially with Toronto. I really believe that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we're ready. I mean, we're so young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for many of these guys, this is their first taste of playoffs. You know, so
that's where having a leader like JJ Redick, who's kind of been through this before, is so important.
Right. And they score a lot of points.
And Bellinelli too.
Yes. What about your Eagles? What are they doing Thursday?
Well, here's the thing. The hot off the press from last night, if you didn't hear it, is that Nick Foles restructured his contract. So he got a $2 million bonus. We're not sure what the salary cap is, but that leads me to believe one thing. Wentz isn't starting the season, which is fine because three of our first four games are against losing teams. So if we can maybe get him into October or at least the latter half of September, I think we'll be fine.
And what happens?
I think that's interesting.
And what happens if Foles starts the season out and is just red hot?
And they go 4-0.
Yeah, and they're dominating teams. And all of a sudden Carson Wentz comes back off this really debilitating injury where there's all kinds of question marks now because will he be the same quarterback, at least mobily? What happens then in Philadelphia?
I would say that they will run Foles until they can't ride him, and I think they'll just keep on saying Wentz isn't ready.
I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to have a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia like you haven't seen before if that happens.
Think
Carson Wentz? Hold on a minute.
You know what I mean?
You think Carson Wentz is going to be okay coming off with the season he was having and the organization? He's the future. He is the quarterback. He is the organization. And this kid, and then Foles comes in and leads them to a Super Bowl, well-deserved Super Bowl. I mean, they were the best team in football, and you got to give Foles a ton of credit. And if he goes
wait a minute. We've come a long way from Super Bowl Saturday and me getting concluded in the studio that there was way of two being the best team in football. Wait a minute, let me sit down. Go ahead. I'm listening.
I own when I'm wrong. I own when I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on this. I can't imagine the Philadelphia Eagles, if Wentz is healthy, can go out back out and play. I mean, first of all, I agree with you. I don't know how you take Foles off if they're an undefeated football team at the time and playing great and continuing what they did going into the Super Bowl. I don't know how you take the quarterback out, but what happens with Carson Wentz? I mean, that's
right.
That, I mean, that to me is quarterback controversy written all over it. And I'm sure Wentz is a great kid, but I mean, this is a kid that was the face of the franchise, was having an MVP type season. When he was the quarterback, they were without a doubt the best team in football. And now because Foles gets hot, all of a sudden they're going to ride Foles, you think, until something happens? That's going
right.
to be interesting.
I mean, here, look, Wentz is the future of the Eagles. That's the bottom line. The contract getting redone yesterday gives them an option for 2019. They can, you know, if he does so-so, they're not going to – Wentz is going to be here. You can't say how long Foles is going to be here. They're not going to get rid of Wentz. But we also don't want to have a situation with an RG3 where he comes back too early from an ACL injury and then he's done. We don't want that either. So, I they have him till 2019, Foles, if they want to keep him. We'll see how Wentz does this season, and we'll go with it. Don't lean on our parade yet. You know, let's see how the season goes.
Well, what about Thursday, though? Are they going to, you think they're going to look to trade up? Or are they going to stand put? Or are they going to trade back and try to collect more assets?
I would be very surprised if Howie Roseman doesn't have something up his sleeve. I don't. They have some chips for to trade, like in Michael Kendricks. I think they'll look to get rid of him in some way so he could be packaged with something else. I would be surprised, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they stood still, because you know Jerry Jones in Dallas, all he wants to hear that day is, and with the last selection of the first round are the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Come on, tell me he doesn't want to hear that in Dallas.
I don't think he's going to look forward to that at all.
No, I don't think so either.
And it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be great.
Well, I mean it's better than saying the Dallas Cowboys is the Super Bowl champ.
I don't know. I mean, I put the Cowboys.
He's going to love it.
I put the Cowboys and the Eagles in the same,
Oh, my gosh, stop.
He's a grumpy Giant
fan. The Eagles make me angry. I mean, the Eagles make me just as angry as the Cowboys. Oh, yeah, guys like you. I mean, the Eagle fans.
Why are you a hater?
I'm not a hater. I'm just going to tell you they're the best team in football. I mean, I can be honest.
You're a great team.
Listen.
Hey, look, it's 4-1. Easy. Take it easy.
I mean, let's take it easy on the
Giants. You can't spell eliminated without ELI.
Yeah, we know that. Austin, as usual, buddy, go put on your orange Philly or your orange Flyer shirt, your Eagles hat.
It's on.
I figured. What do you got? The gentleman's only Eagles jacket around it? Probably a little chilly this morning.
I have a vintage 1970, ready for this, satin Flyers jacket.
Of course you do. You also have the same kind of, you have an Eagles jacket that's satin as well, don't you? Or at least
yeah, but this satin Flyers jacket, people would kill for this.
Do you have any paraphernalia from the 1981 Sixers World Championship?
You mean 83?
83, yeah, sorry.
83, when I graduated from high school that year.
Oh, so you got plenty.
Oh, come on. I own no Sixer stuff.
What?
But I will say it here on the radio. I will say it here on the radio. Just, this is an exclusive. If the Sixers win the world championship.
Just say it before you do. Before you say it, your shirt's going to be on.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I will add the Sixers tattoo.
Oh, boy.
To my body.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty bold. That's pretty bold. All right, we're going to hold you to that.
Are you going
to
have that done up here? You got to come up to Vermont to do that.
No. I have a special guy here. He's a former Philly homicide detective that does all my work.
Austin, as usual, buddy, thanks for taking the time with us, pal. And good luck to your Sixers and good luck to your Flyers.
Let's go, Flyers!
We'll talk to you soon, pal.
He's a trip.
He really is. But interesting. The Flyers.
Knowledgeable.
Well, listen, the Flyers look dead in the water. Pittsburgh.
They're done.
Well, probably. Yeah. I mean, and again, Pittsburgh trying to win three straight Stanley Cup championships. I don't know if defensively they have the team to do it, but they definitely have enough to get by.
Where'd you come up with this hockey knowledge?
Oh, I'm a huge hockey fan. I told you, since when? I'm a hockey guy. I'm the host of a sports radio show, Bernie. I mean, I'm a big everything guy. Okay. That's how it works.
So are you going to stay up tonight and watch the Bruins take care of Toronto?
Oh, of course. I'm going to have like 7 televisions up so I can catch all the baseball. I want to keep up with that. Got to make sure I'm watching NBA.
You still watching baseball?
Of course I'm watching baseball.
Okay.
Listen, congrats to your Red Sox. They look unbelievable. I mean, what are they, 17-2?
I've lost count. That's I think they're on their insane. Second 8-game winning streak.
That's just crazy.
I know that's
going to be part of our hot or not segment, so I won't go into my take on the Red Sox, but unbelievable start to this team. And as a Yankee fan, yeah, it's tough to watch. I mean, it's hard to watch. The Yankees are a mess right now. But I have to say, if you listen to our show weekly, and I hope that all of you do, here on ESPN Radio, 101.3 ESPN.
Why are you going to self-indicate yourself?
I'm just going to say
you're
that going into the season that the Red Sox were the team to beat in the East, and you kept telling me, not a chance. The Yankees are loaded. The Yankees got on. I said, hey, man, listen, I'm going to tell you, this is what the Yankee problem could be.
How did I say that?
Well, maybe not like that. But you were like, you just said, stop. This is what you said. You do what you do. Stop. It's over. Don't talk about it. It's over.
Oh,
the Yankees are going to win. It's all over. Don't going to say it. Going to hit 3,000 home runs.
Jeff, just stop.
Yeah, that's what you did.
The Yankees are just way too good.
There it is. Yeah, they're way. Okay. That's how you rolled it. Yeah. And what I said to you was Yankees on paper, yeah, they are good, but there are some injury issues that they could face. And sure enough, the Yankees are just, they've gotten, like I said.
And right now, I want to thank Derek Jeter for that trade.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been terrible.
205.
He's horrible. Yeah, he had a homer last night, though, which was a good sign.
He lost.
I think the thing with, they don't pitch. I mean, the Yankees are a mess, but here's the deal. It's April, and hopefully they can turn some things around, but it's the Yankees right now, first base, they've got, Greg Bird has not been there since at all, so you've been running out these kids that haven't been able to get the job done. They got Neil Walker playing there periodically. He's been terrible. Second base, they've got nothing, so hopefully Gleyber Torres is coming up. Third base, Brandon Drury, who's a really good player, who is going to be a star in New York eventually, has been out with something very scary, actually. He's got some migraine issues and some blurry vision that they're trying to figure out what's going on. Aaron Hicks has only been, their starting center field has been gone.
How's your shortstop been?
Shortstop has been great. Didi Gregorius has been awesome.
Yes.
Aaron Judge, awesome. Gary Sanchez, terrible. Okay, he's been terrible. He's hitting under 200. That's not the way you expect Gary Sanchez to hit, period. Brett Gardner.
You got another guy hitting 205. How's that any different?
It's not any different. Stanton's been terrible. I mean, I'm agreeing with you. There's just not any consistency. The bullpen has been, the main guys in the bullpen have been very strong, but the starters have been inept except for Severino. I mean, the Yankees are where the Yankees are a bunch of kids right now, and the Red Sox are the best team in baseball. I mean, I think there's something to be said about what they are. You know, they're veteran team in a lot of capacities. Their young guys are still young, but they're veteran young guys, guys like Betts, guys like Jackie Bradley Jr. And again, I mean, when you have the highest payroll in baseball, you should be 17-2.
Exactly.
You know, and
yes,
and great starting pitching, good bullpen. The Red Sox right now are a juggernaut. I'm telling you right now, they could run away and hide from the Yankees if the Yankees don't straighten this thing out in a couple weeks. No question about it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, if you want, the specialization of sports we were talking about, of youth sports. I also, we could talk some more baseball. We got all kinds of stuff coming up, so don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You don't want to mess with people. You don't want to mess with aliens, especially if you don't know if they're nice.
And Bernie Siplicki.
We don't need
Maybe
them.
We're aliens and we don't even know it.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN. Kick it!
And the advice I just gave you on that, that return we just played is that you don't want to mess with aliens. I'm telling you. You know, you mm-hmm. just leave them alone. You don't need to poke the bear. If you saw the movie Independence Day, you know, you don't mess with them. You don't be sending these signals out. Like, we have a nice thing going here on Earth. We don't need to, you know. I'm just saying, did you hear so we had a discussion on one of our segments, the Out in Left Field segment a couple weeks ago was the, what was it about? It was about an alien.
Oh, on Mars or
on
something
Mars
like that.
Yeah.
Venus, I think. Real life.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say I watched the first Alien movie for the first time after we had that bit.
Yeah.
Space is overrated.
Hold on. You watched a movie? Well, why don't you watch Caddyshack or Forrest Gump before Alien?
Exactly. You watch Alien, like with Sigourney Weaver, Alien?
Yeah. I really like sci-fi movies.
Yeah, so you've seen Star Wars and all those movies.
Oh, yeah.
You see the new Star Wars yet?
I did. I like it. I'm not a big fan of all the acting, but I like it a lot.
I'm disappointed that, so I have DirecTV, and usually on DirecTV, you know, you're going to get the pay-per-view. And I noticed that new Star Wars movie is like in the red box. In the grocery store, I've seen the red box and it's there. But why isn't it on pay-per-view yet? I want to watch it myself. But the thing about the Star Wars piece now is they're making too many. Like, there's a movie about Han Solo
coming out.
Oh, it's
going to be great.
Nah, you're killing it now. This is too much.
No, you're not, because now you're trying to figure out how, like, you know, his son and that whole kind of thing.
I know how the son came. You got to know Leia. I mean, we all know how the son came along. I mean, you know, you knew he had a crush on Princess Leia. I knew that in Empire Strikes Back. I mean, didn't you remember the time where he tried to kiss her, you know, on that frozen planet they were on right after he got off of Tauntaun? So don't tell me I don't know my Star Wars.
Okay.
You know, the only thing that's good about Han Solo is there's more Chewbacca. I mean, I think anytime you have Chewbacca, you're all set. And I'm going to tell you right now, if they ever kill off Chewbacca, I'm out. I will never watch another Star Wars
movie. Well,
he
can live forever.
Yes, he can. He's a Wookiee, man. They can do anything with a Wookiee. You can live forever if you're a Wookiee. And by the way, he ages well.
He does.
I mean, either that or he ages horribly. I don't know if like what a Wookiee is supposed to look like. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Wookiee always looks
well,
old.
Well, now, wait a second. You just said they can live forever, so how do they age?
Well, I don't know the answer because he looks a lot like the first Star Wars, and I was like 5 or 4 when that thing came out. So I don't know. He looks the same now, and I saw a preview for the Han Solo movie. He looks the exact same then. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, we had talked earlier about early sports specialization. How it's eroding youth sports, and we talked about that article that we talked on in the Vancouver Sun, and we kind of took it from, you know, I threw some stats out there about, you know, 400% uptick in anterior cruciate ligament injuries on females aged 10 to 17, which is like insane, and that's just a huge thing. You know, we talked about participation rates going down, and all of this kind of stems into, and we kind of were jumping around here and batting around, but what's happened to the mentality of high school sports, and for some of these elite athletes, you know, what they're getting sold. You know, there's a bag of goods being sold to these athletes that we're going to, you know, you don't play high school. You got to play with this, our club organization or our whatever organization is. I use the word club, and when I use the word club, I don't mean just soccer. I mean an outside entity.
Or AAU
or baseball or
yep,
anything.
Sure. Lacrosse, everybody has them.
And they're basically selling these kids, look, you know, we're going to get you you're going to be in front of all the top coaches. You know, you're going to be playing the top, you know, top talent. You'll be, you know, all these great coaches and all these great people are going to see you. And unfortunately, you know, they get sold a bag of goods and they end up not being able. What do we got over here? You trying to show me something here, pal? Go ahead.
Bill Supple, the father of Rain Supple, is on the line.
Oh, perfect. There's not a better guy to talk to than this. Good morning, Mr. Supple. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Thanks for calling in. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, I definitely think that specialization is a bad idea. The more, coaches at higher levels want athletes, and I think to the extent that you can refine your motor skills playing different sports, even though you have one that you're excelling in, makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, even with a baseball player, you know, we bristled at the whole idea once we took our son out of state to play on travel teams during the summer, you know, the whole idea of being a pitcher only, that was hard to get used to. But in some high schools down in Florida, Virginia, kids in high school, that's all they do is they pitch, and you know they get out of the way of the ball when it's hit at them, and you know picking up a bat is not in their vocabulary. So I think playing other sports is a good idea in general.
Mr. Supple, thank you so much for the call. If anyone doesn't know, your son is he currently in pro baseball right now?
No, he's at Wake Forest.
He's at Wake Forest. Okay, yeah. Okay. Understood.
And do the Cubs own his rights?
Yeah, right? That was the question.
No, he's eligible again this year.
Okay, today. Coming back for the draft. Okay. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So they're the only team that can't sign him until he gives them permission to sign him.
Well, thank you so much for this call. And again, guys like you that have elite athletes as kids, as your son is at Wake Forest, you know, it's always interesting to get your perspective. Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
You bet.
All right. We're going to move this conversation because we just got a call from the Director of Media Relations for the New York Yankees. Jason Zillow joins us right now on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. How's it going?
Hey, man, thanks so much for jumping in. We've been talking a little bit about sports specialization and athletes only playing one sport as youth, and that's kind of where we've been talking about here. But we're going to jump ship over here and talk a little bit about the Yankees. One of the things that I think is interesting, Jason, about this whole thing with the Yankees is the Aaron Boone piece. And you were a part of that hire, right? Part of his interview was with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I was a small piece, but yeah, one of the checks and balances that Brian Cashman put in place is that when he'd bring potential managers in for these day-long interviews, part of that day was spent, you know, being interviewed, running through things from a media relations, you know, fan perspective, how these managers might fit with how we see the team moving forward.
Jason, being the director of media relations, I mean, what are the things that you try to prepare guys like Aaron? Aaron Boone played in New York, has one of the most iconic home runs in Yankee history with his home run over against Tim Wakefield and the Red Sox in 2003, which was a great day. I remember that moment very well. But anyway, what are the things that you kind of tell him, you know, to get ready for in terms of being the manager of the Yankees in New York City?
Well, I think, Jeff, by the way, first, I'm having a hard time hearing you. It sounds like you're kind of in a cave, but I can still make out some of these questions.
Okay.
I mean, the biggest thing once someone comes here and sits in the manager's chair is the fact that it's the amount of time that needs to be committed to, you know, the various obstacle courses that are in place when dealing with a media the size that we have following the team. Aaron obviously has a personality, and he has the type of slow heartbeat that I think you're looking for when you're talking about someone who's going to be in front of cameras for as much as he is. But the eye-opening experience is just—it's the sheer volume of requests on a daily basis for, you know, you're talking about 8 months out of the year. I mean, he is essentially really the organization's spokesman when you think about it. He's talking twice a day, almost every single day for 8 months. That's something no one really can be prepared for.
Jason, is there a marked difference between the personality of Joe Girardi and Aaron Boone?
Oh, I think there is, and that's not a knock on Joe. I think I referenced it already. You know, Joe was a go-getter, and his feet were moving constantly, and you know, he was it was almost like a sprint for Joe, where I think Aaron, I think, you know, both their inherent personalities are a little bit different, where, like I said, Aaron has a slow heartbeat. I think you hear talent evaluators talk about that when you talk about athletes. But I think in this market for a manager, that's something that you need. You know, it's a grind. It's a marathon. And, you know, it's hard not to be able to exhale and, you know, kind of, I don't want to say go with the flow. That's
right.
Probably too loosey-goosey of a term. But, you know, understand that this isn't a one-week season. This isn't football, that, you know, the you're able to absorb more things and think things through and then, you know, slowly come up with answers when you're talking, you know, in front of cameras.
We are talking to the Director of Media Relations for the New York Yankees, Jason Zillow, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Jason, it's been kind of an interesting start for the Yankees. There was so much expectation on this baseball team coming into the season, and they've been a 500 club, but they've faced a ton of injuries and a little bit of adversity starting the season. Weather has been a real problem for the Yankees. The starting pitching has been an issue. Giancarlo Stanton came over with all this expectation, especially with the way the season started for him with the two home runs against Toronto. Where do you see this team right now in terms of mentally, and what could you tell a fan base that might be a little bit concerned?
Well, there will be other times this year over I don't even know our record. Is it, we played 18 games? Are we 9-9?
9-9.
There are going to be other times this year over the course of 162 games where we go 9-9. But when you're only dealing with the first 18 and you have nothing else on either side of it, it's going to be dissected, and rightfully so, more. You know, the Red Sox are hot. They're playing really good
really
baseball
good.
Right now. The Mets in Queens are playing really good baseball, two teams that we often get compared to. You know, it's part of the ebb and flow of a season. Injuries happen. They happen every year. They happen to every team.
Yep.
It's not really who has the most injuries. It's who deals with those injuries the best over the course of a 6 month regular season. So, I mean, look, you know, 9-9, you know, Aaron has said this is, you know, it has to improve. But you know, we're stuck here at the beginning of April, the middle of April, where we have nothing else on either side of us. That is our record. If we go 9-9 in July or August, it's not as noticeable, and it's probably not dissected the way it is at the beginning of April.
What do you tell a guy like Giancarlo Stanton? You know, he plays in Miami. You know, we know what was going on down with the Marlins in terms of that organization and in terms of what the fan base was going, you know, they were just, it's not nowhere near as intense as it is playing in New York. He comes up here, has a great first day, but definitely has struggled and had some marked struggles at Yankee Stadium. What, as a guy that's the director of media relations for the Yankees, what do you tell a guy like Giancarlo when he's facing the media and he's kind of struggling right now?
Well, it's, you know, for me, it's important, obviously, to develop a relationship with him as soon as he dons the pinstripes, which started back at the winter meetings. And then, obviously, in spring training, you have time to develop a rapport, develop a relationship, and, you know, have him understand that this is, you know, it's different here. I remember one of the things we talked about in February or March is, you know, the good news is that when you hit 5 home runs in a week, people are going to care a whole lot more than at any point prior to him coming to this organization. The bad news is when you go 0 for 4, 0 for 5, people care a whole lot more. And it's understanding that balance and understanding that accountability here is important because when you do go 0 for 4, you're going to need to talk about it. And the same with, again, when you have a 2-homer game. You know, something I picked up on in spring training happened out on the field, actually, which to me kind of brought a smile to my face, is the first time we put him in left field, it was a terrible game to play the outfield because of the sun and the wind and the conditions. And he didn't make a couple of plays on balls that he probably could have or should have. The following day, Boone stuck him back out in left field, and he made a catch. And it was just an ordinary catch. It didn't require much difficulty on his part. But he caught the ball and kind of raised his hands above his head and smiled out to the crowd in left field, which to me, for most people, it didn't probably mean that much. To me, that was a sign that he kind of gets it, that he doesn't take himself too seriously, that he can have fun and roll with it. And the fact that a guy who's coming off an MVP season who'd really never played left field in his career, and he did it willingly and without complaint, was also something, you know, reminded me of A-Rod when he moved to third base. Very similar. Came off an MVP season, came to the Yankees, and was asked if he'd be willing to move to a different position, which he did. And to me, those were two good signs that he kind of understands himself and understands that, you know, it's a game and it's okay to smile. And as much as he struggled the first couple of weeks of the season, he's really conducted his business at his locker as well as anybody could expect. So it's, you know, again, the manager knows this more than I, but it's only a matter of time before, you know, he turns some of these numbers around. And the fact that he's held his ground with the media and was accountable and was answering questions about why he struggled so much, to me, is a sign of good things to come.
Jason Zillo, thanks so much for your time, buddy. It means the world to us that you called in, and good luck the rest of the season, my man. We'll be watching.
All right, thanks. Have a good summer.
Thanks buddy. Jason. You too. Great guy. Jason's a great guy.
Yes.
You know, and he's, and what's great about, what's kind of neat about for us is that Jason's called a couple weeks in a row. He's calling in the middle of our, that hot or not. So we've been trying to coordinate times, and he called in this morning, and it's great to talk to him. And great perspective. If you're a Yankee fan, it's like, just take a deep breath, relax. We get that the Mets are playing good and the Red Sox playing good, but it's a long season. So just don't worry about anything. So I'm going to listen to Jason. He knows what he's talking about.
Okay.
I'm calming down.
17-2.
Be quiet. We'll be right back.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not, powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Aaron, it's Hot or Not time, buddy. What do we got this week?
All right, Hot or Not is sponsored by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early as hours are subject to change if they sell out.
Now, that edible cookie dough they just came up with, that's like brand new for them, is unbelievable good.
Genius.
It is. Anytime you can eat edible cookie dough, that's a great idea. That's really good.
You mean all cookie dough isn't edible?
I mean, I always thought it was, but yeah. I think you can get sick. You know, there's like raw eggs.
Salmonella won't stop me.
Yeah, of course not. It's too good.
So that's what happened. Okay.
Yeah, get yourself one of those.
All right. Number one, the Celtics will win the series against the Bucks.
Go ahead, Bernie. You can take that.
I'm going to go not. I think Milwaukee wins this in seven. I just think with the quick turnaround playing tomorrow, it'll be 2-2. And I just think at the end of the day, the